Okay, say, Lord Jesus, I need eyes to see. Ears to hear.
Ears to hear.
And a heart to perceive.
And a heart to perceive.
What your Holy Spirit.
What your Holy Spirit
is doing with me.
Is doing with me.
Amen.
Amen.
I heard this morning after some quiet time before the Lord, Psalm 106. So I read the whole Psalm 106 from beginning to end, and I said, Lord, there has to be something here that you're trying to make me see. And he said, yes. Go back to verse 16. So that's where we're going to start today. Psalm 106, verse 16. Now, if you look at all of what happened through Psalm 106, it's all about what God did with the children of Israel and how the children of Israel were really on their own agenda, yet God had chosen them because he made a promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But verse 16 says, in the camp they grew envious of Moses and of Aaron, who was consecrated to the Lord. So now, you say, wait a minute, what is going on? In the camp could be in the group, roughly 2 million. In the church, they grew envious of Moses and of Aaron, who was consecrated to the Lord. Who also are those that are consecrated to the Lord?
We are.
We are. If we are believers and we've been consecrated to the Lord, some may be envious of us. Yes or no? Mm-hmm. Yes. Are they going to say, I envy you?
Mm-mm. No.
No. Why?
They don't have to. You can tell.
They don't have to. All right. That's cool. You can tell. Do you think they can tell?
Maybe not.
They can tell what?
That they're envious?
I believe they know it.
You think some would know?
Okay. I mean, they don't. Maybe don't put that title on it. They choose another word.
Uh-huh, or give it another title, et cetera.
But I believe it.
But there is jealousy involved. There is, you know, how come they're so happy and I'm not? And how come everything goes right for them? Or amen?
And those without pride will ask.
Come again?
Those without pride will ask. Those
yes!
Will ask what?
They'll expose it. Well, they'll ask, well, why is it that you're so happy in the midst of tragedy?
Yeah. And it'll cause them to be angry sometimes.
Yeah.
And that happens. And I want to kind of give a praise report in the midst of this. So I had to stop for the bread. And so obviously I had two items. I had the bread, and I saw there were some blueberries, and I got jealous, and I wanted some blueberries, so I wanted to bring the two items. And every line in Walmart had at least 20 people in it.
Of course.
Okay?
Storm is coming.
Yeah, so everybody's got to stock up, right? So I've got my hot bread on my carriage, and I got my little box of blueberries. And I stopped at a couple places, but it was like, oh my God, I'm going to even be late for church if I wait until they all go through. Even the quick line was at least 15, 20 people. So you add that up. So I, Lord, what do I do? And I heard, go on. So I did. I kind of kept on going. And I got to a place where there was only two carriages, which I thought, that's pretty good. Two carriages is good, right? So I line up behind this lady, and she's already got some of her items on the conveyor belt, and there was another lady checking out. So that was pretty good. So she says to me, is that all you have? I said, yes. She said, well, you go ahead of me. Wow. What have I done right today? You know? So I said, thank you very much. So sure enough, the other lady cashed out, and I'm next. That's cool. So I said, I want to thank you for being the angel on my job today. I said, I really appreciate this blessing. And I said, I'm going to ask God to bless you. And she says, oh, I need it. Of course, she's in line too, right? But as I'm walking away, the Lord's, I paid for my two items. I turned around and I said, I really mean that I'm blessing you today because of his love for you and your grace to me, or something to that effect. And she smiled, you know, and she knew she got blessed. What about those that are envious of us? Can we bless them?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yes.
Yeah. Will they be able to accept it?
No. Not always.
Part-time. How about part-time? Is that a better word? Okay. I want to take you to a couple of other places where you can see the Spirit at work. In Psalms 37, verse 1. Psalms 37, verse 1. Do not fret because of evil men, or be envious of those who do wrong. Now he's talking to believers here. Yes or no? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Psalms 37, verse 1. Do not fret because of evil men, or be envious of those who do wrong. And obviously, envious is what we're talking about. Proverbs 3, 31. Proverbs 3, 31. Do not envy a violent man or choose any of his ways. Do not envy a violent man or choose any of his ways. Proverbs 14:30. Proverbs 14:30. This one is the one that I told you was pretty exciting about our body being blessed when we reject envy. A heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. I mean, if anybody knows about bone problems, all right, you know how they got it. Yes?
The Message says, a sound mind makes for a robust body.
Yeah.
But runaway emotions corrode the bones.
Not very funny. So, envy will have a problem and it backfires in your body. And I could go on another list of things, because I know what the spirit of fear did. It tried to kill me. It killed my brother at 43. Gave him his first coronary thrombosis at 39. Okay? 3/4 of his heart exploded away.
Jesus.
It took almost 4 months for him to even be able to stand in next to a bed, because that's how bad that the attack was. And how he lived, only God knows. So again, do not let your heart envy sinners. Proverbs 23:17. Proverbs 23:17. Do not let your heart envy sinners, but always be zealous for the fear of the Lord. Do not is a direction. Your heart envy anyone who's in the sinner's world, but always be zealous for the fear of the Lord. It's confirmed in Proverbs 24, verse 1, and also in Romans 13:13. And then, of course, you have 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. I love it. It does not boast. It is not proud. A lot of times we think of love from a different angle. But this is God's perspective. It's patient. Love is kind. It doesn't envy. It doesn't boast. And it's not proud. And it goes on, because you can keep on going there. There's a lot more information. But the next verse that I want to give you is Galatians chapter 5, verse 26. Galatians chapter 5, verse 26. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. That's deep. Let us not become conceited, provoking or envying each other. And it's confirmed in James chapter 3, verse 14. Basically the same wording, basically the same idea. So I was looking at all this and I said, Lord, why are you bringing this out today? He said, because envy can be explained away. We can excuse it. We can find a reason to, let's say, not be patient with someone. Sometimes provoking the other person would be an okay thing, just to wake them up because they deserve to be waken up. But we don't see the pride in it. And so I see, you know, envy and pride working hand in hand. They're like twins.
That pride covers a very large...
Oh, you're not kidding.
It? Jesus, keep us at
the cross. Scary what that thing does. Okay? And it uses us, and it gets away with it without even basically knowing that we've been used or abused.
Yep.
Okay? So let's go back to the concept that the Lord wanted me to kind of press in. So I'll back this up to verse 13.
What are we in?
106, Psalm 106. So if you stay with Psalm 106, that was the concentration. I wanted to give you that verse because that's what he was trying to make me see, that they got stuck in. You know, the Israelites were released from a prison, basically, as slaves. And there was no hope for their future except more slavery. And some of them, I mean, they were envious of Moses and Aaron. Because Moses and Aaron were leaders, and they wanted to be what? Anybody know what they wanted to be?
They wanted to be leaders.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Verse 13, but they soon forgot what he had done, and did not wait for his counsel. That part is very important, because sometimes we need to ask the Holy Spirit to make things clear. We need to understand what God is trying to do to us or with us, so that we don't lose the purpose of his love for us. In the desert, they gave in to their cravings. In the wasteland, they put God to the test. So he gave them what they asked for, but sent a wasting disease upon them. In the camp, they grew envious of Moses and of Aaron, who was consecrated to the Lord. The earth opened up and swallowed Dathan. It buried the company of Abiram. Fire blazed among their followers. A flame consumed the wicked. This shows us a pattern of God dealing with garbage. And a lot of people are afraid of the last days because they say, oh my God, it's going to be hopeless. No, it's not. God hasn't changed his way of dealing with people. And some of the dark people, some of those that are stuck in their mindsets that everything is black and you better join them because, you know, after all, they want you to be down on their level. All right? But God sent a wasting disease. Does he do that today? Is it possible?
Sure.
Yes, he does. Yeah, well, again, yes. But he sends his blazing fire in verse 18. Among their followers, a flame consumed the wicked. Will you and I be consumed? No way. Why? because you've accepted the Lord. The pattern doesn't change. Verse 19. At Horeb, they made a calf and worshipped an idol cast from metal. They exchanged their glory for an image of a bull which eats grass. I mean, how common do you want it? They forgot the God who saved them, who had done great things in Egypt, miracles in the land of Ham, and awesome deeds by the Red Sea. So he said he would destroy them. He had Moses, his chosen one, stood on the breach before him to keep his wrath from destroying them. So in other words, the consecrated people are able to keep the darkness away from even those that are being destroyed because they're angry or they're envious or they're full of pride, whatever it is, God will still use the intercessor. He did with Moses, he did it with Aaron, and he did it with others. Then they despised the pleasant land. They did not believe his promise. That's very important. Us choosing to believe that he's going to take care of the details is something we are commissioned to do. They grumbled in their tents. Could that be your body? Mm-hmm. Yeah. St. Paul talks about, I'm about ready to get my tent. I'm losing my tent, but I'm going home. So this is a tent. It's not literally a cloth tent. It's a flesh tent. They grumbled in their tents, and they did not obey the Lord. So he swore to them with uplifted hands that he would make them fall in the desert, make their descendants fall among the nations, and scatter them throughout the land. If you remember what I taught you last week about God having his promise for those that have been scattered throughout the land, this confirms it again. He's going to have compassion on Israel. He's going to have compassion on Judah. Why? Because they are his chosen people and he didn't forget his covenant. Hmm. Verse 28. They yoked themselves to the Baal of Peor and ate sacrifice offered to lifeless gods. They provoked the Lord to anger by their wicked deeds, and a plague broke out among them. But Phinehas stood up and intervened, and the plague was checked. Verse 31 is important. This was credited to him as righteousness for endless generations to come. In other words, it's also for us to stand in the gap when we see somebody doing something bad. Stand up for what God tells you to do for that person that's making a bad choice, whatever that bad choice was. Oh, Holy Spirit, please give them grace, give them compassion, give them mercy, and give them a choice to go back to Jesus where they need to be. Again, 32, but the waters of Meribah, they angered the Lord, and trouble came to Moses because of them. That's a very good one. Because if you remember why Moses wasn't able to enter the promised land, it's because of this. He blew his top. He got very angry at them. And verse 33, they rebelled against the Spirit of God. They rebelled against the person, but they also rebelled against the Spirit of God. Has anything changed?
No.
And rash words came from Moses' lips. In other words, he reacted to their misbehavior. They did not destroy the people as the Lord had commanded them, but they mingled with the nations and adopted their customs. They worshiped their idols, which became a snare to them. They sacrificed their sons and their daughters to demons. Has anything changed? Mm-mm. Abortion is still a sacrificial offering to Baal. They shed innocent blood, the blood of their sons and their daughters, whom they sacrificed to the idols of Canaan, and to the land was desecrated by their blood. They defiled themselves by what they did by their deeds they prostituted themselves. Can I prostitute myself by an action or reaction? Yes. The pattern hasn't changed. God is still looking for me to be focused on Him and not on the self-satisfaction. Verse 40. Therefore the Lord was angry with His people and abhorred His inheritance. He handed them over to the nations, and their foes ruled over them. Their enemies oppressed them and subjected them to their power. Many times He delivered them, but they were bent on rebellion, and they wasted away in their sin. You know, you look at the Jews, how they survived so much garbage that was done against them. God was still in charge, and He still was going to have compassion on the remnant. And that is something that is a miracle before the nations. Even when Israel became a country or a state in 1948, that is something that you and I can look at and say, look what God has done. He took these hopeless peoples that were full of rebellion, and He still gave them a home. Verse 44, but He took note of their distress when He heard their cry. For their sake He remembered His covenant, and out of His great love He relented. So in other words, the love that He had for them did not diminish, even though He was angry. He caused them to be pitied by all who held them captive. Save us, O Lord our God, and gather us from the nations, that we may give thanks to Your holy name and glory in Your praise. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Let all the people say, Amen. Praise the Lord. This tells me that we're living in this same closing statement. Save us, O Lord, they're crying, because they're surrounded by enemies. And actually, you take the nations around Israel to this day are still focused on one thing: if we can get rid of them. If we can get rid of them, then Jesus won't return. So they're looking for His first coming, and we're looking for His second coming. So, the bottom line that I wanted to make sure that everybody got to see is that when envy happens in us, when we look at someone else thinking that they're better off than me, it's a caution light that should go off. And we should really pray for them and not get involved in a judgment call. Amen?
Amen.
That's what He gave me. Any questions? Then if you'll close your eyes, say, Lord Jesus, let this word come into my heart in a deeper way to give me a caution light so that I can see how tricky the darkness is and what it wants me to do is to be envious of those who have it all. And if I've been there, if I've done any of those things, I'm thanking You now to give me the grace not only to repent, to change my mind, but to get a new attitude. With love and compassion, I bless those that have been highly exalted,
even if they made mistakes.
Love them,
heal them,
as You're healing and loving me.
As You're healing and loving me.
In Jesus' name we pray.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
And bless the food we're about to partake of.
Amen.
I haven't forgotten what's been put out there. It smells real good. And by the way, that was French bread.
Whatever the title of it, whatever the title of it, whatever the title of it.